And welcome everybody to another episode of the Neil World Order Podcast, coming to you on a chilly Saturday night here in Wisconsin. Daylight savings time starts tonight. We're all about to lose an hour's sleep tonight, which means it's a short weekend, right? But we'll get some more daylight. Last week for me before we head down to sunny Florida for a week of beach therapy. I'm really looking forward to that. Forecast looks like it's going to be in the 70s, so that's not terrible. I mean, I would prefer the 80s, but hey, we're going to be on the beach soaking up the sun, feet in the ocean, and you can't beat that, right? But yeah, it was really cold here today, windy. Yesterday rained all day, just damp and yucky. Weather kind of hadn't been able to make up its mind. It's like warm for 2 days, and it's cold for 2 days, and it's warm for 2 days, and it's cold for 2 days. I think it's kind of getting us ready for spring, like I've said a million times before here. Spring is my least favorite season here in the Midwest. I mean, we can't really complain about winter. I mean, though it's not over, I think we got, what, 2 more weeks, and that's it. But, yeah. Lead-in song tonight, Silver Springs by Fleetwood Mac, off the Rumors album. You know, Rumors, their most popular album. That album is often mentioned as, you know, in lists as one of the greatest albums of all time. That album sold over 40 million copies, which makes it one of the top-selling albums of all time. Actually, as I was getting ready to do this and go live for this, I had poured myself a glass and was listening to it in the background. And, man, it's a near-perfect album. It really is. And I was fortunate enough that my mother-in-law gave me an original copy of Rumors. So this is probably the one she actually purchased back in 1975, I believe, when it was released, or thereabouts, whenever she bought it. And it just sounds amazing. Interesting story about the song Silver Springs you heard. Was originally supposed to be on the album Rumors, which, you know, on the remastered copies that are out now and have been since released, it is on there. So some of you may be like, oh, it's on Rumors. Well, it's not on the original press of Rumors. So when they originally did the album, they had too many songs. On the original press of Rumors, Gold Dust Woman, which is an amazing song in its own, was the last song. But the record company had said there were too many songs, they needed to cut one, and Mick Fleetwood had went and told Stevie Nicks that Silver Springs was being cut from the album. Stevie Nicks was upset. Silver Springs was kind of a song she wrote about her breakup with guitarist, vocalist Lindsey Buckingham. I don't know if a lot of people know the history of Fleetwood Mac. Lindsey Buckingham, the guitars and vocal, and Stevie Nicks, they were kind of their own band and were a couple before joining Fleetwood Mac. Fleetwood Mac had actually released 8 albums before Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham joined the band, but had really garnered no real success in the United States. They'd had a little success in London, you know, in England, kind of in Europe, but nothing really to speak of. And just through some fate of crossing paths in a studio where they both were recording, they had heard Lindsey Buckingham recording. Him and Stevie Nicks had their own little, you know, duo together, and they wanted him to join the band. His condition was, well, he would only join the band if they took her. They didn't really want her. They just wanted him. Well, one thing led to another, and they took them both. So anyways, they had a tumultuous relationship, and he had written the song Go Your Own Way, which was his side of their breakup. And Silver Springs, which was actually about, I believe it was about, she had taken from a road sign exit of a town, Silver Springs, where she had envisioned them living and raising a family and, you know, the whole picket fence kind of thing. And, you know, so she was kind of felt like her story was being left off the album. And the song was kind of forgotten about. You know, it'd never been played live. It just kind of was, it was an afterthought. It's just like one of those B-side songs that just is, you throw away, it's in a vault, and it's just whatever. So years later, you know, Lindsey Buckingham leaves the group. Stevie Nicks leaves the group. Fleetwood Mac kind of just disappears, breaks up, whatever. You know, MTV comes around during the years when Unplug is, you know, they've had everybody on Unplug. They get the Eagles to do it and kind of reunite when they did Hell Freezes Over. At one point, Fleetwood Mac had reunited once for Bill Clinton's campaign, and they did Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow. That was kind of like his campaign song. And so MTV did an Unplugged with Fleetwood. It was kind of an Unplugged, kind of just a live performance called The Dance. And it was going to be recorded in a live album. And on that Unplugged / concert live performance, Silver Spring was added to the playlist. Like I said, they'd never performed it live or whatever. The band rehearsed, practiced it, all this, you know, and it just whatever. And then when they go to do the event, you know, under the cameras and lights and it's being recorded, Stevie Nicks performed the song differently, not word-wise, but just, I guess you would say, the emotion she put into the song was different than any of the rehearsals, and made the song amazing as she kind of channeled everything she felt, you know, even turning towards Lindsey Buckingham as she sang it, and really just emphasizing the lyrics, and it was a hit. I believe it became their highest charting hit to date. You know, their top single. It's, you know, I believe now it's cited as their most popular song. You know, it has since been added to all the remastered copies of Rumors. You know, it's the song when she plays, everyone wants to hear. And it's a great song, you know. It's just a really cool song, you know. It's one of those things, and I don't even know how I came across the story. I think I was just watching music videos on YouTube one day, and I was just like, had just a random playlist of something going, and it was like the story of Silver, and I was like, what? And I was like, click. And I always watch little videos like that to kind of get little things like to talk about on here. And unfortunately, I've seen so many of them and talked about very few of them on here. And I thought it was fascinating. And I was like, wow, how crazy that just like, you know, this one song that was, you know, she'd poured her heart into kind of got thrown to the wayside. You know, then they're like, oh, hey, let's perform this. And then, you know, she kind of bets on herself and just is like, I'm just going to just sing this the way I wrote it. And it becomes huge, you know, and I think, you know, it reminds me, somebody said something once, you know, like when music's real, people feel it, you know, when it's good, they'll listen to it. But when it's real, people feel it. And that's when they love it and really attach themselves to it. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, like that album is amazing. Rumors, if you've never listened to it, you know, even if you don't have to be a classic rock guy. You know, for a lot of people, I don't know, I would even say people who really know me. My mother-in-law thought it was weird today when I asked her. She has my in-laws have an amazing album collection. You know, I'm fortunate enough that they tell me, and God, you know, I don't want anything to ever happen to them, but they say it's mine when they're gone. But that's why I didn't feel bad about asking about the album today. And I was like, I bet she has this. And she was, you know, like, it just doesn't seem like something I would listen to. And I love Fleetwood Mac. I think they're amazing. I just think the musicianship, the lyrics, the arrangements, it's in, like I said, the whole album is just so good, you know. And that album in itself just, you know, there's a reason why it's one of the top-selling albums of all time. And considered, on a top 10 list of greatest albums of all time. You know, everyone in the band was experiencing a breakup, a divorce, and, they just kind of locked themselves in this studio and plugged through it and created rock and roll history. And, some 50 years later, it's still huge. There's copies of it in Walmart, in Target. It's on Amazon. People still want this today, My daughter, who's 19, owns this album, So it's generational. And I mean, I think that's kind of cool when you can make music like that. I believe Mick Fleetwood, a handful of the, two or three or four of the members of the band have passed away. So it's, years, their music's going to live on long after they're gone. There's a good chance in 20 years from now, all of the members of the band will have, passed on. But there's this amazing catalog of music that is their legacy, and the one album in particular, and they had a string of two or three. The first album, they did with Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks, I believe was just called Fleetwood Mac. And that was the one with, I'm drawing a blank. But that one had a few hits as well, but It Can't Touch Rumors. But yeah, if you get a chance, you're just doing something, you want some background music, or like I said, when I was just sitting here kind of reading some things and thinking about things to talk about and just having a glass of my Wild Turkey Rare Breed Kentucky Straight Bourbon, I enjoyed the album. It has another one of my favorite Fleetwood Mac songs, The Chain, which I think is an amazing song. I actually heard a phenomenal cover of it today. And Fleetwood Mac's a tough band to cover. Case in point that I don't think you hear a lot of covers of their songs because of their arrangements and the fact that there's, a lot of male and female vocals mixed in. And it's just, people don't try to cover the song. But Jackson Dean, who my wife and I actually saw in concert a few weeks back, 23-year-old, up-and-coming country artist, sings Don't Come Looking, Fearless, had an amazing song he has called Heaven to Betsy. But he does a cover of the Chain, and amazing. And I'm hard pressed to say that I almost liked it better than the original, and I felt like he still paid homage to what the song was and made it his own at the same time. And I think he's just one of those people that has this voice quality, and part of it is I think he's a throwback country artist as well. He kind of carries that Johnny Cash, Waylon, Hank senior quality about him, that just the guys, if you get a chance, listen to him, because if you're into country music a few years from now, you're not going to be able to not listen to him, because he's going to be the next big thing. He's just phenomenal. An amazing talent. Can't understand a word he says when he talks, but man, the guy sings. I thought he was from Louisiana, and then it turns out we were at the concert, he's from Maryland, so apparently they have weird accents in Maryland. But I digress. But yeah, definitely check out Rumors by Fleetwood Mac. Fleetwood Mac in general. I mean, Landslide, an amazing song. Especially any of you that have kids, that one's a tearjerker. Gold Dust Woman is an amazing song. Dreams. Don't Stop. And there's, they're kind of, for the longest time with me, we're kind of like Led Zeppelin. And people make fun of me for this, Led Zeppelin. I love so many Led Zeppelin songs. I don't know what they're called. But have you ever heard blah, blah, blah? And I'll say no. And then they play it. And I go, oh, I just didn't know that was the name. Yeah. And I can sing the words to that song, but I had no idea that was the name of it. But yeah, it's just kind of, I don't know, it was a good vibe, before I did this. My wife's going to make fun of me for using that word. Before I got started down here with my Wild Turkey, like I said, which is a little something I picked up last time I was down in Kentucky. We grabbed this at the Wild Turkey Distillery, which is, I don't know anyone who's going down there, their visitor center, which is going to be awesome when they finish it, is still under construction. So they have like this old little cabin that they're kind of working out of, which I believe his name's Jimmy Russell, the master distiller. Yeah, right there on the bottle. Master distiller Jimmy Russell still wanders in there from time to time. Apparently we had just missed him when we were there, and we probably would have caught him, but I drove by the place because it was so small, like 3 or 4 times, before I finally went to a security booth at the, like, where they're at, the distillery, and said, yo, where's, like, the gift shop, like, tasting place? And they finally said, oh, it's that little yellow cabin over there that you've probably driven by. But anyways, yeah, Wild Turkey, rare breed, barrel proof. It is 116 proof. Got a little bit of a kick to it. There's some hug on it. It is, you know, it's a small batch barrel proof is what it's considered. It's made from barrels of 6-year, 8-year, and 12-year bourbon, which is kind of an interesting mix. I wasn't aware of the, you know, it being that. As far as having some of the ageier barrels in it, it has a different flavor for me. I'm still undecided on what I think. It definitely has a smoky flavor. It's spicy, almost like a rye, but it's not. It's peppery. It almost tastes like what I feel like people have described to me Pappy Van Winkle tastes like. It doesn't have, it's a consistent taste, like, it doesn't, you know, some bourbons are, they start and then they finish differently. This one just kind of is, you know, it pretty much what it says on their taste sheet on the website. It says it's a long and lingering spice, but it's good. It's warm. It's, you know, and I guess when I look at the bottle now, the aging makes sense of 8 and 12 year, because it's a very dark bourbon. I don't know if any of you know your bourbons. The darker, usually the longer a bourbon ages, the darker it ends up becoming. You know, it soaks up more character from the wood. It takes more of the char and the oak out of the barrels, and it just becomes darker. Your Weller 12s, your Knob Creek 12s, your Eagle Rares, you know, being a 10-year, your Whistle Pig 10s, they're all going to be like a darker bourbon. They're all very good. You know, most of the longer something ages, usually this isn't as smooth as a lot of the longer age stuff I've had. I'll say that's different. It's not terrible. It's not, you know, this is like my second glass, so it's not, I would say I'm undecided. My tasting on this, I would rate as incomplete. I think because I expected something completely different, and it's just, yeah. But Wild Turkey as a whole, I mean, they make some really great product. You know, Wild Turkey 101 is considered by most people to be one of the best bourbons on the market for $23. That's a go-to for a lot of people who just want a simple, regular 90 proof, well, I mean, 101 proof bourbon, I guess that's what it is. You know, and they do the 101 rye. They have their regular Wild Turkey bourbon, which is a 90 proof. The rare breed comes in rye. They've released the Wild Turkey Kentucky Spirit, which actually looks cool. I'm going to click on this and read about it. This is one I saw somewhere for like $54.99, which I thought it was a lot more expensive than that. It's a 5-star rating. Let's read the description on the Kentucky Spirit. Luke says he loves when I talk about bourbon, so we'll go really in-depth today. It says this one is individually chosen by master distiller Jimmy and Eddie Russell. It bears a distinct date, warehouse, rick, and barrel number, embodying the essence of a genuine single-barrel bourbon, which means everything in the bottle came from one barrel. So it's aged between 8.5 and 9.5 years. It is meticulously measured in limestone-filtered water, which most everything down there in Kentucky is. It's a 101 proof. So, yeah. It's probably got a little, so it's obviously going to have less heat on it than this because it's less proof, or less, yeah, less proof. Oh, yeah, no spicy. It's more of a vanilla and honey. So, yeah, that's, Wild Turkey likes to do the honey thing. I know they have a lot of flavored whiskeys that, you know, in the whiskeys you can add the additives and stuff like that. So that's definitely, it's called Wild Turkey Kentucky Spirits Single Barrel. And I know they actually have a really cool bottle. And I'm not sure if it's on the website. Sometimes I've seen that this one can go for like upwards of like 500. I believe it's called the Master Distiller Series. I don't know why I got quiet when I said that. I think because it makes me feel dirty. Generations is what it is. It's a once-in-a-lifetime blend. And there's a few hand-selected bottles. These, they're unicorns. You're probably not going to see them in stores. They're going to go anywhere from like $1,000 to $5,000 a bottle. But they had one at the distillery. It was just for show, just to kind of, in a case, just to kind of, you know, let you know the product exists. But I believe Wild Turkey also bottles and distills Russell's Reserve, as well as, I can't remember. But I know they do Russell's Reserve as well, which Russell's Reserve is a great product. There's a Russell's Reserve, is it 18? Or the red is the 10-year, and there's a blue one. Whatever the blue one is really good, but it's very hard to find, too. They didn't have any when we were there. But anyways, definitely worth checking out. So I've kind of stayed away from politics and everything. I know it's an election year and all that. I'll be honest, I don't watch the news really. There was a State of the Union this week. I did not watch it. I knew it was going to be stupid. It's going to be one of those things where it's just like, why would you watch something that's just somebody's going to sit there and boldface lie and tell you dumb shit, and you're just going to be like yelling at the TV. It's kind of like, I don't know, watching a Packer game, I guess. I don't know. But anyways, I saw some of the recaps, you know, with Sleepy Joe stuttering and this and that. And, you know, my biggest issue, I guess, is the whole border thing. And I don't understand that, you know, when somebody's like, hey, I want your help, you know, I'm going to reach across the aisle and I need the Republicans to help me fix this issue that I created when I repealed all by executive order all these policies that had created a safe border, that were, you know, we were building a wall, we were doing this, you know. And since Joe Biden's taken office, there's been almost 9 million illegals cross our border. You know, we're the only country in the world right now that has what's considered an open border, like where they don't just like shoot you or immediately apprehend you, and it's not like secure to the T when you cross the border. Like the only country. You can Google that and look that shit up. It's even like, think about 9 million. That's more population than like some of the states in this country. That's out of hand. Like, and you think about that. And I'm not saying all these people are criminals, you know. And I don't understand why we need 9 million more people. I would close the border, period. I wouldn't let anybody in the legal way or whatever. I'd just be like, you know, we're going to be closed for, let's say, 5 years until we get some things figured out. There's plenty of other places for people to go. They don't need to come here, right? You know, these people have bailed on and I catch flack for this. They've bailed on where they're from. So they're not willing to put the work in to make where they're from better. So they just want to come here. So if the going gets tough in the neighborhood they move in, they're just going to leave there and go to the next. Like, come on. You know, and people are like, oh, you know, they do the jobs. These people won't do it, this and that. they don't even fight for their own country. So to me, to some extent, they don't have a sense of pride because, you know, they just bail and they just, hey, we're going to go live somewhere else now. And then you have one party that wants them here because, hey, we're going to give them all this free stuff. We're going to take care of them better than we do some of the legal citizens that live here. And you see the Democrats were all over Joe because he actually called them illegals in his State of the Union address and then went on TV, all the things wrong in this country. And that's what he was worried about apologizing for. Not the fact that one of the illegals actually killed some girl, Lake and Riley in Georgia, a nursing student, based on his policies and things he's done wrong. And then he doubled down on that the other day by flying 322,000 people. He didn't even want them to have to interact with Border Patrol. They were flown over the border and just kind of just spread out over 36 states. You know, and I'm sure the governors of those states weren't aware of it. You even have, you know, blue state governors, blue state mayors that are kind of over it. And it'll be interesting to see what, you know, what happens in the election. The biggest issue is going to be liberals are obsessed with abortion. Like, don't get between a liberal and their lust to kill the unborn. Like, they love to kill babies. They love to make you think that if they can't kill unborn children, women will die. Even though, I don't know, years ago, or whenever I did the, I gave you the stats. You can go on the government's own page and it'll show you that it's like less than 1%. You know, 10% of pregnancies are terminated for medical reasons. And like 1 to 3% of those are the woman's health. The other percent are the child, whether it's something being physically wrong with the child or it being some kind of mental handicap that the parents or whatever don't want to deal with. But 90% of all abortions are done just because. And that was literally the verbiage on, I don't know if it's the U.S. Department of Health Statistics or Health and Human Services or wherever I got on that episode. The episode was called Billion Dollar Babies. So if you listen to it, I had the stats, I read where they came from, and gave you all the correct numbers. Those were, at the time, those numbers were all correct. I don't know how different they are now, but those statistics were correct. You know, but there's this bloodlust, you know. And people joke, you know. I hear, right, you know, I guess conservative pundits say all the time that being a liberal leftist is kind of like a death cult, that they're obsessed with death. You know, I think about the guy that set himself on fire a few weeks back. I don't know how many of you saw that. I don't know if I might have talked about it or not, but he was obsessed with, he was supposedly an Air Force guy, went to the Israeli embassy, pissing and moaning about Palestine, literally set himself on fire and killed himself. He was an American. In this, he did it in our country, but at the city, he couldn't stand by and be a part of it. And I was like, dude, the people of Palestine don't give spit about you, and you killed yourself for that. And you're a footnote. It means nothing. It changed nothing. You literally just like maybe didn't take your meds for 3 days, went insane, and now you're dead, and your family has to live with the shame that you were batshit crazy and fucking set yourself on fire and died. Because you were stressed about all these fucking people over in the Middle East that fucking are pissed off because they can't get along and haven't for 500 years. It's stupid. But whatever. You know, the border thing, it should be closed. Or put turnstiles up. Put ticket booths up. Make that motherfucker like Disneyland. $150,000 you can come through. If you ain't got it, pop. We shoot people. I don't know. You got to do something. We don't always have to be the land of the opportunity. Things change. Companies change their policies and rules all the time. We could do that. But we can't have people just coming into the country and then being thrown wherever. And I know there's good people that come. I'm not one of those people that think everyone that comes through here is a gang member, a rapist, a murderer, or some Middle Eastern terrorist. But you're a fool if you think those types of people aren't coming. And especially when we're not vetting them, especially when the people who work that border are telling you sex traffickers, drug cartel members, a lot of bad things are coming, and that they need help, and that the government isn't doing their job, and the government isn't helping. You know, when the government wanted to sue the state of Texas for trying to secure the border themselves, like, that's a problem. When we vote on a bill and the Democrats are all mad and don't want to secure the border because in that same bill there's not enough money to go to a pretend war that isn't happening in Ukraine. Like, there's no reason. My dogs are barking at probably an like the invisible war in Ukraine. There's probably some invisible thing outside that's not really there that they're barking at. But I digress. They could, maybe they're hearing me and they're barking and they don't realize I'm down here and not upstairs. But yeah, you know, Nikki Haley finally dropped out. Not that she was really ever in the race. She was just like on paper, I guess, for lack of a better word. She was never really competing. I'm surprised she was the person that lasted as long. I honestly thought the other candidates were way better and stood a better chance at gaining momentum. And I said before, you know, if I had to pick one of the people, it wouldn't have been Trump. But that's, I guess, who the majority wants. And, you know, that looks like we're going to get Trump versus Biden. God knows how it's going to go. You know, I guess it'll be a fun ride, or it won't be, as we ride into November. But anyways, maybe next Friday, I will be in Tennessee, so probably won't be an episode. Maybe I'll do one Sunday night from the beach. Maybe I can get Kai to participate again, but we'll see. That's all I got for you. Sorry, the whiskey got stuck in my throat. I had this cool little thing that Kai sent me, but I can't get it to load to share with you guys. It was a cool little fact thing, so I'm going to save that for a different episode, but because I feel like it'll work on any episode. But yeah, thanks for hanging out tonight, and have a great weekend. Be safe, and don't forget to set your clocks ahead. I guess you don't really have to worry about that now, because does anyone really use clocks? We just have our phones, and then we fix our cars, and then our appliances, right? And sometimes appliances are on Wi-Fi anymore, but I don't know. Who knows? Whatever. Thanks for hanging out, people. See you next time.